The Lakewood General Motors plant on the south side, McDonough Boulevard, I think is where it was located, had opened in the late 1920s. I guess it was one of the first assembly plants in the Deep South.
That's right. And it was part of a larger campaign called the Ford Atlanta campaign in the late 20s here to recruit industry to Atlanta, and very successful campaign that brought hundreds of national firms to come to the city, many on the south side of town, along the Lee Street corridor and elsewhere. But the Lakewood plant was a big plant, employed thousands of people, and paid relatively good wages. So it was one of these places that people would sometimes drive from 30 or 40 miles to work at the Lakewood plant, located directly next to the Atlanta Federal Penitentiary.
Well, today the labor organization AFL-CIO is all one phrase, but there was a time when they were two different organizations.
That's right. There had been the AFL, which is largely what we call craft unions, skilled trades and so forth. And then in the Depression, you see an increasing effort to organize industrial industries, mass industries, rubber and steel and auto and mine workers. In 1935, what eventually became the Congress of Industrial Organizations, the CIO organized. In January 1936, the rubber workers in Akron, Ohio, embarked upon a new tactic called the sit-down, where workers would go on strike and stay inside the facility. And auto workers also noticed this, and there's growing pressure put on General Motors in particular to try to unionize, recognize the union at this time. We know about the famous strike in Flint, Michigan, which culminated in union recognition by GM.
But the Lakewood strike predates the Flint, Michigan strike.
The Flint strike began in January 1937, and there's a growing militancy among auto workers around the country. At some level, I think the auto workers in Atlanta thought that the rest of the country was going to go on strike along with them. But it was also local conditions, a foreman who wouldn't let the workers wear their CIO buttons, and other kinds of things that went on that actually caused folks at the Lakewood plant to shut down. And they carried out a successful strike for really about 3 months. And it was a snowy winter. There was widespread support for them in the community. Behind the scenes, some local politicians supported them as well. You know, they actually managed to hold on for close to 3 months, by which time the Flint strike had occurred and GM issued this general recognition of the United Auto Workers. But we sometimes forget that there is a labor history in Atlanta. Certainly, there's been strong anti-labor sentiment in the South. Atlanta had had a fairly active labor movement dating back to the early 20th century. The mayor of Atlanta four times in the early 20th century was a union printer at the Atlanta Journal, James Woodward. In the teens, there were Labor Day parades of 50,000 people in a city of 150,000 residents.
In the late 40s, I think in 1947, two different plants in that same year opened. There was the Ford Hapeville plant opened, and then the GM Doraville plant opened.
That's right. So you had three automobile plants here that collectively employed well over 5,000 people. You also had Atlantic Steel that employed 2,000 people. You had Exposition Cotton Mill. You had Fulton Bag and Cotton Mill. You had the railroad shops, the Norfolk and Southern Railroad shops. You had King Plow and the Mattress Factory, these other industrial places, which are very sadly all gone.
Completely different landscape than what Atlanta became in the 60s and 70s and 80s.
That's right. You look at the site of the Lakewood plant, it was for a while a recycling center. It's basically vacant. Clearly, the Hapeville plant is long gone near the airport. The Doraville plant is long gone, and the city of Doraville and others are trying to figure out what to do with that facility. I spoke at a group of railroad shop machinists on the day that they learned that the CSX was moving the railroad shops to Altoona, Pennsylvania once, and it was kind of a poignant moment to be in the presence of hundreds of middle-aged men crying because their jobs were being moved away. And we think about deindustrialization in the last 30 years as being a northern phenomenon or a midwestern phenomenon, but it also took part in places like Atlanta. And as you look at the landscape today, you know, it's sometimes hard to remember that this was a thriving manufacturing town with a very diverse industrial base, and the signs of that are few and far between today on the landscape.
Well, Cliff Kuhn, thank you.
Thank you.